Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Unfashionable Podcast. I am your host, Miss Andy Andrews, and I'm here today to discuss our big three. What is that? Well, did you download your birth chart from last episode? I hope so, or else this episode isn't going to make any sense to you. If you failed to listen to last week's episode, I gave you homework. Not really. I didn't say that you have to do this, but I was pretty open to sharing. So I hope you were receiving what I was dishing out. If you're looking to become more self-aware and in tune with your higher self, I would recommend downloading your free birth chart from, I'm going to spell it out, ALABE.com. You're going to need your birthday, the city you were born in, and the time of your birth, okay? Time is not needed, but it's highly recommended. I'm going to just sit here while you go download your birth chart so you can listen to the rest of this episode, okay? Go ahead. No, I'm serious. Go get it. You got it? Okay, good. Let's move on. The big three. Your sun, your moon, and your rising. Aren't they so enticing? I'm a Taurus sun, Sagittarius moon, and Virgo rising. Your sun sign is your core identity. It's your personality. Your moon sign has to do with your emotions, your instincts, and your inner self. And your rising sign is basically first impressions, like how others would perceive you. With my sun being in Taurus, an earth sign, my soul path is to be as authentic and grounded as possible. With my moon in Sagittarius, a fire sign, that's why I'm a little spicy. I'm open-minded and optimistic, always. And with my rising sign being in Virgo, I might be perceived as a perfectionist, but that's none of my business. There's the signs, the planets, and then there's the houses. Each planet is the what. As in, what does that mean for you? Like we just talked about, ego, emotions, and how others perceive you. Each sign represents the how, as in how it will play out for you. And each house represents various areas of your life. You can see it as the where, as in where in your life will each planet and its sign play out for you? What are they trying to tell you? Here we go. My sun in Taurus falls into my ninth house, which is a house of spirituality, higher education, philosophy, law, publishing. It's the house of expansion. But as with anything, there are good and bad characteristics of being a Tauro. I know there is. There is. Trust me. Let me grab my birth chart. Hold up. If you're watching me in video, this is what my birth chart looks like when I broke it down into words, not symbols. It gets crazy, but it's truly exciting. Tauruses can be stubborn. We can be materialistic, greedy, possessive, selfish, ungracious, envious, jealous, unforgiving, and stubborn. Or we can be gracious, tenacious, grounded, multi-talented, supportive, authentic. Basically, guardians of the earth is what Tauruses are. So we need to be outside. The best thing for us is to be outside, to not hold any grudges, to forgive and accept. Building things from scratch means so much to us. Even if it's just a meal, tackle jealousy. We're very jealous people. I think it's just a territorial thing. Like, don't try it. We love to eat good food. We love to like constantly be checked in with our values, like love, health, family, friends. Those things are very important to us because we need things to keep us grounded, right? Then we go to my moon in Sag, which falls into my fourth house, which is a house of emotions. I'm very emotional. and feelings, family ties, commitment, security, childhood, as well as any mothering experience, like any experience you've had with your mother. Some bad characteristics of being a Sagittarius were too blunt, maybe, too cruel, ignorant, argumentative, impatient, negative, self-indulgent fakes. Okay, ouch. But on the good side, we're adventurous, we're smart, we're fun, we're passionate, optimistic, we have so much integrity, we're gifted at telling stories, inspirational, open-minded, and exciting, right? Wise. Okay, but we need to check our intentions at the door. Make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons, correct? Share knowledge with others with love and kindness. I think I'm doing that right, hopefully. Take smart risks. Plan adventures outside. Don't overindulge. That's a huge one of mine. I like to overindulge sometimes because I like to drink to my accomplishments sometimes, you guys. Okay? Sometimes I accomplish things every day. It doesn't mean I'm an alcoholic. I don't want to put that in there. Basically, I have to nurture myself and others and not take everything so personal. Because I used to take things really personal, but I've kind of worked on that, I think. That was a little messy, I'm sorry. But we're moving forward to my rising sign in Virgo, which falls into my very first house, which is the house of first impressions, like I said earlier, personality and character. As with anything, Virgo also has it good and bad. We tend to overanalyze, criticize. We can be very controlling of people and situations. We like to control things because we're scared, basically. That's it. I admit it. I admit that I'm scared. But what are you gonna do? Hide? No, I'm gonna heal. Things to do for Virgo is we need to think before we speak sometimes. We need to definitely have more fun because we're very analytical and like to the point, and shit needs to be done when it needs to be done, you know? But we're facing our fears. We're facing anxiety straight on. Okay, I know we went over so much already, but there's another level to this shit, okay? Now, whether or not there are planets in those houses, that's where there's work to be done. That was just like an overview, okay? In my first house, I don't have any planets, and that's okay. That just means it's more flexible. Like, experiences are shaped more by the choices I make and external factors rather than being like defaulted to planetary influences, if that makes sense. Since I have Virgo in my first house, but no planets, being a Virgo rising will just play a more significant role in how I'm perceived, aka the fucking perfectionist, which we already discussed. I'm forever working on it. Nobody's perfect, okay? In my fourth house, I only have Pluto and the moon. I shouldn't say I only have Pluto and the moon because these planets have impacted me to the core, I'm telling you. Pluto technically isn't a planet anymore, and I'm pretty bothered by that because you can't just take away its powers, but I understand. It's done. And the moon, it's actually in its default house in the fourth house. So with Pluto and the moon in my fourth house, I hope you guys are keeping up. I swear, I'm so sorry if it's confusing, but you should have downloaded your birth chart then. So with Pluto and the moon in my fourth house, I really had to deal with my emotions, my road rage, my relationship to my mummy, security, home, childhood, my power, and my relationship to the power of others. You know, all the good stuff. It's giving death and rebirth times a million. And it really shows, doesn't it? Moving to my ninth house, where the lovely sun is, as well as Mars and Mercury, this is where it gets really good. The sun, we've established, has to do with our ego, self-identity, and soul path. Mars is the planet of attraction, sexuality, physical energy, and motivations. While Mercury is the planet of communication, the mind, intellectual interests, and my sense of timing. With all these motherfuckers in Taurus in my ninth house, it's very important to me that I live a good, healthy, balanced, sexy, raw, loving life. It's not just me. The universe knows who I am and what I want. God forbid I listen to her. My obsession with astrology came from the set of bed sheets that I had as a little girl. I had matching curtains too, which was crazy. It had this deep blue background with gold stars on it. Oh my God, it had clouds on it too, now that I remember. It makes so much sense. The bed sheets were all right, but the curtains, the way they'd hit against my nightlight, ooh, I was bound to be a lover of stars, planets, and all things alike. But I had forgotten my love for the stars because I was too busy chasing caviar. I had this opportunity. Is it really the unfashionable podcast if we don't have a fashion story in it? Okay. I had this opportunity in 2021. It was an opportunity of a lifetime, you guys, with a company named, should I name them? Yeah, why not? Autumn Adegbo. I had made it to interview three. I was working with a recruiter to secure my bag, okay? Unfortunately, the bag was never secured. That's not on the recruiter, though. What had happened was I had met the Miss Autumn Adegbo herself. She showed up on our Zoom call with frames bigger than her face. She was interviewing me, the creator of this company, with sunglasses on. Do you know how intimidating that is? I understood it. She creates some of the most beautiful clothes in LA that I've ever seen. Of course, she was gonna stand on business. She was hiring. Was I nervous? Yes. I made myself sound like a total idiot, but somehow I moved on to the next interview. And in the next interview, I panicked. The COO, the chief of operations, asked me how I can anticipate the needs of my superior. And with all honesty, I had no, like, I was speechless. I did not know how to answer this question. At first, I didn't understand it because I was like, what do you mean? How do I anticipate the need of my superior? Obviously, after working with her for a week, I would be able to anticipate her priorities. But you're asking me this right now in an interview? Like, how am I supposed to know what Autumn wants right now? I didn't know how to answer the question, so the interview was a total bust. I knew after we hung up that I was not going to get the job. I was hopeful, but I wasn't going to get the job. But I hate to think that it was all my fault, because the chief of operations woman that interviewed me, her last name coincidentally matched the last name of the new hire that they chose to go with. What was my lesson? Just because you're good doesn't mean you're great. I was devastated. Was I not good enough, or did the decision come down to something else? I prepared my ass off for this interview, but I also did it in my car, so maybe I didn't look as prepared, or maybe I looked like a go-getter, like I was a busy woman. I was looking for a job like this since I graduated in 2018. It was 2021. I wasn't prepared for that heartbreak. No man, thankfully, has ever broke my heart, but Autumn Adegbo, a million pieces. I know now that even if I would have gotten the job, somewhere along the way, it wouldn't have worked out in my favor. I was being protected. Even though it didn't feel good being rejected, rejection is protection. Rejection is redirection. If I would have wasted my time running errands in the hills, I never would have been able to introduce you to the big three, to your big three. So fuck all that. I'm so happy that you're here with me. If you have any questions or concerns, please DM the pod. If you need help identifying your big three or want to know more about planet placements, please let me know. I have a book recommendation that really helped me when I was starting out on my astro journey. It's called The Signs by Caroline Faulkner. It covers the signs and the planets and the houses in the most digestible way. I highly recommend it to those of you who are really feeling this episode. Moving on to the unlearning part of the pod. This week, I'm unlearning the need to control everything under the sun. I'm learning to take each day as it comes and tackle every obstacle in the most gracious way. That's all. If anything I touched on hit a sweet spot for you, please let me know, privately or publicly. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any future unfashionable moments. Thank you so much for listening, and always remember what? Showing up as your higher self is never off trend. Love you.